It's so wonderful to see the extent of talent, the choir, the band. Last week we had the bells. There is just so much energy in this church, so much ability for praising God. You are able to experience God's blessing and presence in an exciting way because of the music that comes to you. Your tithes and your offerings help support the music ministry of this church, as well as all of the ministries of the church. God blesses us in so many ways and only asks a small portion back. As we prepare to give to God out of the abundance with which God has blessed us, let's stand and sing praise to God and continue to lift his name. Will the usher please come forward? Lord, we do praise you. And just as the choirs of angels sang praise to you, so we lift our voices and hearts in praise to you. Thank you for your generous abundance. Thank you for giving us of yourself so completely that Jesus came to live among us and die for us and raise again so that we can be freed from the power of sin and spend our eternity with you. Thank you for all of the blessings of heaven that you bestow on us, and thank you for the opportunity to worship you this day. Please bless these tithes and offerings for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. That was fun. That was fun. Thank you. Our New Testament lesson comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And in the spirit of Linus from Charlie Brown Christmas, and with the tradition of the Christmas season, I'll be reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The hymn starts, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Where were Mary and Joseph from? This is a trick question. Nazareth. Very good. They were from the town of Nazareth. Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married. In those days, that engagement was as legally binding as a marriage, and certainly more legally binding than engagements we have today. Mary and Joseph were not yet living together as husband and wife. They had no sexual relations. They were planning for their future, and they were waiting for their wedding day to celebrate their love for each other. Luke 1, 26 to 38 tells us that the angel Gabriel came to Mary while she was still a virgin and told her that God's plan was for her to become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. She would bear a son. His name would be Jesus. He would be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord would give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Luke also tells us that although Mary did not understand how all of this would happen, she believed the message that God spoke to her through the angel Gabriel. Mary accepted her place in God's plan for his people. Mary's acceptance of God's plan for her changed the relationship between Mary and Joseph. The Bible says that before Mary and Joseph were married, Mary was found to be pregnant. the very foundation of trust in the relationship between Mary and Joseph was shaken. I think that Joseph would have been devastated, to say the least. This was not his child. His love had been betrayed. Joseph was a righteous man. He was obedient before God. He knew that punishment was readily available and that according to Jewish law, Mary's unfaithfulness to him was punishable. Death by stoning. Joseph was in the struggle of his life. Joseph was living in that tension between his obedience to God and his upright standing before God and his love for Mary. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24 tells us that for a while Joseph struggled with his feelings. It goes on to say that Joseph finally decided that he loved Mary too much to expose her to public disgrace and the fatal punishment that he could initiate. And so Joseph made plans to divorce her very quietly. Joseph was surely brokenhearted. And in the midst of Joseph's tension and struggle, God's angel stepped in and reassured Joseph that Mary had not been unfaithful to him, and that he was to take Mary as his wife. The angel told Joseph that Mary had conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that the child within her, whom Joseph would raise, would be indeed a son who would save his people from their sins. Now, Joseph had to sort through God's plan for Mary's life and what he understood to be God's plan for his life as well. God did not abandon either Joseph or Mary while they wrestled with their understanding of God's plan for their lives. God let them wrestle with their feelings, their unpleasant, their confusing feelings, their emotions. God let them wrestle with those for themselves. And it probably took some time. That could be an understatement. The Bible tells us that in obedience to God and with a love-filled commitment to Mary, Joseph did what the Lord commanded. And Joseph took Mary home as his wife. When the baby was born, Joseph named him Jesus, as God had instructed. The name Jesus means God saves. You think about these events for a minute. Mary and Joseph both experienced firsthand God's salvation. God saved their marriage. God saved their relationship. God saved their trust for each other. And when they both were willing to put their obedience to God ahead of their circumstances, ahead of their feelings, ahead of their concerns, then God was able to provide for their needs and help them in a personal way that they had never known before. They saw firsthand that God did not abandon them in their struggles. And they continued. They continued to be faithful to each other and faithful to God. Then it was time for Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem. Bethlehem of Judea is the setting for many events and people of the Old Testament. Bethlehem is known as the city of David because it was in Bethlehem that Samuel anointed David to be the king over Israel. The prophet Micah had announced that the Savior of Israel would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and the Jews were waiting. They were waiting expectantly. They were waiting in hope for their Savior to be born in Bethlehem and that he would be a descendant of King David. The Jewish people waited for their redemption, and they waited for a long time. That word redemption, we use that word redemption in church circles a lot. We don't often hear it in our daily lives, but the word redeem means to buy back. In the Bible, our redemption means God buys back from Satan the hearts and the lives of souls of those who choose to love God. In Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8, there's a promise that was given to the Jews, and it's a promise that we can stand on. It's a promise where you can insert your name into the verse. So whenever I read the verse and I say the word Israel, put your name in place of that word. It's a promise to us. O Israel, put your name there. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel, or your name. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. What a promise to stand on. As you read through the Old Testament, you'll see that the Lord had allowed Israel to be conquered and punished because of their disobedience and sinful unfaithfulness. That happened time and again. Also, what happened is as a result of their disobedience and unfaithfulness, and they went into captivity or punishment, the people eventually came to their senses. They returned to God, they asked for forgiveness, and God restored them to himself. This was a time when Israel was being punished for their disobedience, and Israel, God's chosen people, were waiting for the promised Savior to come with God's forgiveness and waiting to free them from Roman domination. They were waiting. What they did not expect was that God, in his wisdom, would use a decree from Caesar for a taxation census. Their freedom would come through a worldwide taxation when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. Now, this government decree meant that every Jew would be included in the census. Every Jew would be forced to provide additional revenue for Rome. You know the story. The Jews were required to go to their ancestral home, and since Joseph was a descendant of David, who was from Bethlehem, and since Mary was considered his wife, the two of them were compelled by Roman law to make the trip to Bethlehem. Normally, it would have been a three-day trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. This was not a normal trip. Partly because of the vast amount of people traveling to Bethlehem, partly because of the advanced stage of Mary's pregnancy. So by the time they got there, there were no rooms available in Bethlehem. God, however, provided for the needs of Mary and Joseph in the form of a stable. And when Jesus was born, it was a feeding trough that was his bed. God was indeed watching over this tiny family who had no one there with them to watch over them except God. And God looked out for them and helped them. That was Jesus' entrance into this sin-filled world. God chose to make himself known to us through Jesus. God chose to save us from all of our sins through his only son, Jesus. God's redemption buying us back from Satan came with Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his torturous death, and his physical resurrection. This is how God chose to make himself known to us. It's important for us to remember that this world is not broken. This world is sin-filled. We cannot fix this world. This world must be saved from its sins. God, who created everything, looked down from heaven, saw our greatest need, and at the perfect time, God provided for that need, just as he has provided for all of our needs from the very beginning. A man named Roy Lesson gave a quote that I'm going to share with you. Roy says, "If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer." That's the end of that part of the quote. You read the news, you watch TV, the world today, through government, through TV, attempts to supply us with all of those things today. But they always fall short, and we always need more. Lesson continues, "But the Lord knows our greatest need. Our greatest need is forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior through whom we can be forgiven and be saved from our sins." There's a Bible verse that many of you know, and I invite you to say it with me. It's from John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The Lord knows that our greatest need is forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. God used humble people and everyday things to complete his plan for our salvation. Last week, we learned how the humble shepherds were the ones to receive the honor from God. They were the only ones who heard the announcement of the angels. Today, we hear about Mary and Joseph. Mary was an ordinary, everyday young Jewish maiden when God chose her to be the mother of the Messiah. That child's earthly father would be a carpenter. God comes to us as the real person of Jesus. He had a real family. He had real joys. He cried real tears. Jesus comes to us as a real person from very real and very humble beginnings. God's always used the humble to proclaim his message and carry out his plan. God still chooses the humble to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which God promises to those who love him. Christmas is about remembering and celebrating the historical fact that God Almighty, the Lord God Almighty, has come to earth and remains with us today. That's what Christmas is all about. He is God the Son. His name is Jesus, and he lived and he died and he physically rose from the dead and he still lives. The Lord Jesus will return as the only righteous king and the only righteous judge. As we think about Christmas, Jesus' humble birth was the beginning of God's gift of salvation for us. That was the beginning. God's love was at its fullest and most complete on the cross. when he took our filthy sins upon himself and buried them. And then he showed himself to be God in the flesh, because Jesus physically raised from the dead and conquered the power of Satan for us. It's by Jesus' power that we can receive a new heart to love God now and to receive eternal life in heaven with Jesus when our bodies die and we meet him face to face. God promises that he will not turn away those who are humble and sincere in their desire to love and be faithful to Jesus. Today's the day. Today is the day to ask Jesus to forgive your sins and to give you a new clean heart. Go ahead. Silently confess your sins to Jesus. You need a Savior who can forgive you and make you right before God. Will you make room in your life for Jesus? Will you invite Jesus to make you able to turn away from your sins and turn your heart and your life in a new direction? Will you trust Jesus to supply for all your needs? When Jesus was born, God himself came to live with us, to personally win our souls from Satan and to personally save us from our sins. Jesus came to cast out our sins and to enter into our hearts and create in us a brand new life. It will be God alone through the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes and who will give us a brand new attitude and a new heart and a new perspective that's filled with hope and gratitude. When we voluntarily and willingly choose to follow Jesus, we will be saved and our soul will be reserved for eternal life in heaven. Each one of us need to consider our response for God's plan for our life. God chooses you. In some way, God reassures you and tells you to not be afraid of your uncertainty of his plans. God will show you all his plans as you go from day to day. He will show you the way. God will walk with you on your journey. Your journey to eternal life in heaven with Jesus. God respects your questions. Go ahead and ask them. God understands your struggles. And by the Holy Spirit, God empowers you to continue to be faithful and obedient and trusting in the midst of the questions and the struggles. But there's a price. The price of our salvation was paid for by Jesus. God's redemption, buying us back from Satan, came with Jesus, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his torturous death, his physical resurrection. All of that's paid for. That's done. But we have a price to pay too. Our price is our acceptance of Jesus as our Savior in a committed and obedient trust in God's perfect plan for our lives day by day. You have been chosen by God. People who are chosen by God do not have a life of unbroken happiness. We can have joy and peace in the midst of the unhappiness, but we have to seek God's joy and God's peace, which only God can provide. You've been chosen by God. People who are chosen by God have the Holy Spirit to guide them, to provide for them, to cheer them on in order to accomplish God's purpose in God's time. People who are chosen by God have the blessed assurance of God's very real presence with them moment by moment and day by day. You have been chosen by God. If you are listening, God has led you to church today, either here in person or online. What seems at first to be impossible for you, God will make possible. What seems at first to be beyond your reach, God will give. God has chosen you. Will you choose God? What God has promised to you, God will fulfill. What God is beginning in you, God will complete. So give yourself a chance. Don't be afraid. Jesus loves you. Open your heart to the power and the mystery and the reality of God's love. And say along with Mary, let it be to me according to your word. And then with eyes and hands and hearts wide open, watch for God's plan to unfold in your life. That's all I have to say about that for now. Glory to God. Amen.